so numb, yeah!
AM 760 Talk and breaking news. It is the Brett Witterville Show. Good to be spending this time with you. And I'm always happy when I get to catch up with one of my favorite people who comes by from time to time. He is Father Bill Nicholas. You know him from his great work in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. We're spreading hands across the state of California from down south to up north. It's good to have you here, Father. How are you?
Good to be back, Brett. How are you? How have you been?
I'm well. I have to ask you a serious question because this is the sort of thing that I wonder about. We have a prayerful impeachment underway because of Speaker Pelosi talking about it being prayerful and the leadership there. Are we going to do this segment in a prayerful way? How does this all work for the average person out there unfamiliar with a prayerful approach?
It's just as well this is a radio show. You said this was a serious question. Otherwise, if we were on television, you might have seen me start chuckling a minute ago. it's interesting with the whole idea of prayerful. I once had a person come up to me in front of a group of friends of mine when I was in the seminary, and he was kind of, I guess you could say, I don't know about if suave is the way to put it, but after a couple of minutes he said, "Well, Bill, good to see you. I'll be keeping you in my prayers," and he walked away, and my friends looked at me and said, "Just what exactly is he going to be praying for?" Because of the manner in which he said it. Uh-huh. But you know, you and I have been pretty good at not getting political on this show.
Yes.
Because of just my role as a priest, although I think your listeners have a pretty good idea which side of the aisle I would fall on, just because of the topics you and I talk about. But it's interesting. Let's not talk politics. Let's just talk irony.
Yes, sir.
Here, because when they say they're doing it prayerfully,
yes.
One of the definitions of being prayerful is deeply concerned with what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to know that the Democratic leadership is saying that we are getting back to religion,
mm-hmm.
at least in implying the prayerfulness of this whole thing. I mean, I suppose when the House of Representatives ultimately votes on the impeachment articles, such as they are, mm-hmm. That which we've seen so far, they probably might call on the chaplain to the House of Representatives to lead maybe a 20-minute prayer service or maybe a 10 minutes of a meditative prayer
mm-hmm.
before they do that. I'm not exactly sure they would, but it's interesting, you know, a party that definitely is on the side of those who declare freedom from religion, as opposed to advocating for freedom of religion, which our president certainly makes no bones about, are now saying that we want to be prayerful when it comes to impeaching the president, who's a very strong advocate of religious liberty.
And again, the founders, they believed that there was an important role for religion, not a state religion, obviously, not a state church, but this is going to be a very interesting time as we watch this unfold.
What's a shame in this whole thing is that people use religion to legitimize whatever it is they're doing.
Exactly.
It's something I've brought up a great many times in my videos, in my homilies, where, you know, there's that old age-old question, at least as old as the 60s, where people would ask, what would Jesus do? And I always point out that no matter what the situation is or what the issue is, just put in the subject, the topic,
mm-hmm.
when a person asks, well, let's just consider, what would Jesus do? Shazam, it always seems to be what I would do. Have you ever noticed that when people
yes.
ask that? The answer, Jesus would do exactly what I would do. How about that? And that tends to be where it goes, is basically, you know, legitimizing whatever they want to do.
Right.
It's hard to take seriously.
You see it a lot
in
look,
that context.
You do. And you see it a lot in the political season. Just as a general cultural critique, and I'm sure it's everywhere, but in a general cultural critique, you see it always, and especially in Christmas time, holiday time, Hanukkah, you know, people pick and choose what they like. And you and I have had the conversations about that before. And it's kind of interesting because I make no bones about the fact people know I'm Catholic. And you're obviously Catholic. You're Father Bill Nicholas,
obviously.
Right, from the Archdiocese in San Francisco. And yet, I always heard this word. This is what I want to ask you about. I've always heard this word inside the context of the church called a jubilee. I mean, some people
uh-huh.
think that just means, we're going to have a party. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a jubilee. Come on down to the Festival of Cars, and we're going to sell cars at the car dealership. But jubilee has a very specific meaning. And now suddenly, people who are worried about the money changers and the people who control the dollars and the bills and the bill collectors, they're now starting to look back 5,000 years to ancient Babylon, and they want to try to do some kind of a Babylonian jubilee. What is this story that's moving here, Father?
Yeah, well, I think I looked at the report myself, and they were calling it Jubilee Light. And here again, let's not get political. Let's just get ironic. Let's look at the irony of this whole thing. Well, first of all, Jubilee is very heavy in the Bible, so it's nice to know that they want to return to the Bible, or maybe they at least don't realize they do. And the Jubilee is a time that commemorates an anniversary of event, and in the case of the Bible, it was every 7 years, and there were specific things that they were supposed to do, such as forgive debts, free slaves, and so on. However, it's also associated with connoting an anniversary of, say, the reign of a monarch, mm-hmm. and that it was the monarch who would grant the Jubilee, okay. either when they're crowned or when they reach their 25th, 40th, 50th mm-hmm. anniversary. And so there again, when I read that, I couldn't help but remember the testimony of that law school professor, whose name escapes me now, from Stanford, mm-hmm. who invoked President Trump's son's name, saying he can name his son Barron, but he can't make him a Barron. Why? Because he's not a king, and as a nation, we don't have kings. And yet they want to refer to something like a Jubilee mm-hmm. that is declared by, you guessed it, kings.
Oh, this is interesting. Yeah, okay.
On the one hand, they want to get back to religion mm-hmm. in Jubilees, as I recall, they love to invoke the separation of church and state and freedom from religion. And now they're saying we don't have a monarchy, but as soon as some of these politicians are elected, they're going to declare a Jubilee as if they were monarchs.
So to pick up the pieces, Pamela Carlin would be your Stanford professor you just referenced. And
that would be it, yes.
And in ancient Babylon, a newly enthroned king would declare a Jubilee, wiping out the population's debts. In modern America, a faint echo of that idea, calling it a Jubilee light, catching on. A support for write-offs has been driven by Senator Elizabeth Warren, saying she would cancel most of the $1.6 trillion in U.S. student loans, and Senator Sanders would go further, erasing the whole lot, plus $81 billion in medical debt, that they would just wipe out, and they would say, this is now a Jubilee. So is this safe to say it would be King Bernie and Queen Elizabeth? Wait, we already have a Queen Elizabeth. Hold on, now I'm confused. It's kind of wild because it's... Okay, you're a student of history. This has to be done through a legislative means. There is not a fiat. There is not a mitre or a scepter or something that you can declare from the throne that the debt is erased. Certainly Xerxes or somebody, some Persian king, some Babylonian king, they could do that, but a president can't because they're constrained.
Yeah, but they're not monarchs, but Jubilees were particularly associated with either religion in the Bible mm-hmm. or monarchs. Historically, religion mm-hmm. from the Bible or monarchies throughout, at least in this case, the ancient world. And even there again, I mean, thank God I know history. Some people don't know history. There might be some people out there who actually think Babylon still exists, and maybe we should go there and find out how well the system has worked for them. But Babylon has not been around for a few thousand years. And so...
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to know that they had to go that far back in history
yeah.
to find a system that they think might work for us, and that there are no other economists or economic philosophers mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. over the last, say, at least 3,000 years. Mm-hmm. Of course, none of them have had any impact on our economic system. There are no capitalist philosophers or systems, right? No, there are plenty of them. But they had to go all the way back to ancient Babylon to find a system that they think would work for this country. You know, I don't know how they would expect people to take mm-hmm. that or them seriously when they do things like this. And you know, like I said, you and I don't get political here.
No.
But just how do you take that seriously?
Yeah.
Where they're invoking ancient Babylon.
I'd say, well, it's a cultural. Listen, we've invoked a lot of things. Certainly, we've just did. And I'm going to say this. This is Brett Woodard will say this, not Father Bill Nicholas. You know, we've seen politicians invoke the founding fathers where they may not have been so in vogue a few weeks ago. We've seen a number of politicians do amazing things in a political season where they'll invoke whatever it takes to add to the sauce to create the buffet for everybody to enjoy themselves. You know what I'm saying there, Father?
Right, and even biblically, when was the last time Babylon was ever invoked positively
wow.
in the Bible?
that's a very good question. See?
And even in the book of Revelation, there's this figure that I you
Uh-oh.
Know is called the Whore of Babylon.
Oh.
I mean, that's not necessarily a good thing.
No.
So you know, it's made me perplexed when I actually saw that. And then when you called me and said you wanted to talk about this, I'm thinking, We may have fun with this one because it's just, it was very, very strange. So
I think we've done a good job with it. I think we've,
because, you know, when has Babylon ever been invoked positively, even culturally? There are positive aspects to it, obviously, because it was one of the great ancient empires.
Yes.
But, you know, but here, you know, we're not a monarchy, and yet it's something that monarchs granted. The Democratic Party, or at least the leftists who support them, want to completely erase any influence of religion, and yet Jubilees have a very strong religious connotation, and then they're invoking an ancient culture and has been gone for thousands of years,
which had phenomenal hanging gardens and that TV show in the 90s. I mean, that's the only times I can think of Babylon.
Babylon 5, yeah.
There we go.
I was a Star Trek man myself, out of Babylon 5.
Very nice. Father Bill, we appreciate you making time for us, and we will we'll pick up a weightier issue at some point in the future. But I figured, given all the heaviness around the season right now with the politicking, it would be good to kind of take this apart on its own. Great stuff as always, and we always appreciate your time, Father.
Good to lighten it up with you, Fred.
You got it. Father Bill Nicholas, great stuff. We'll be sending him the link on that because he's going to want to post it, I'm sure. 800-760-KFMB, 800-760-5362.